Roman's Product Management Podcast. Today, I'd like to talk to you about the product strategy cycle. So when I reflect on my experiences when it comes to product strategy, I find that it's not always effectively practiced. And one of the key issues I encounter in my work is that strategy and execution are not aligned, but rather disjointed. So what I'd like to do in this episode is introduce an iterative process to you, which I've called a product strategy cycle. And the idea of the cycle is to systematically connect strategy and execution so that the former guides the latter and that insights gained from the tactical work help evolve the product strategy. The traditional view of strategy and execution is that they are separate sequential pieces of work that are carried out typically by different people or groups of individuals. For example, a product manager might determine the product strategy, and one or more development teams might be tasked with executing it. But as long as innovation, change, and risks are present, this approach is not very effective. Instead, strategy and execution should be closely connected. The former should not only guide execution, but execution should also inform strategy changes and help adapt and help improve the strategy. And so based on this insight, I've come up with a model of an iterative process that I've called a product strategy cycle, as I've mentioned. And again, the idea is to systematically link different plans and planning levels. So link product strategy with product roadmap, backlog, development work, and key performance indicators. So the process starts by creating a new strategy, and that could be either for a brand new product or for an existing one. So in the case of an existing product, a new strategy might be required to extend the product's life cycle, for example. And maybe you want to extend the life cycle by addressing a new market or market segment. And by strategy, I mean a high-level plan that describes the product's target group, the beneficiaries of the product, the users and customers, the value proposition, the main need or the main problem that the product should address or the primary benefit it should create, the standout features that set it apart from existing offerings, and the business goals, the benefits the product should create for the organization creating and providing it. But before you then proceed any further, I suggest that you validate your new strategy. This is necessary as it is likely to contain risks and hidden assumptions. So for example, the market segment that you've chosen might not be the right one, or the business goals might simply not be feasible. And to maximize the chances of releasing a successful product, you should now systematically identify and then address the key risks. And only then I suggest you decide how to best implement the new strategy. And validating the strategy and addressing the risks is best done in an iterative manner. And I explain how you can do this in more detail in my book, Strategize, if you're interested. Now, once you've addressed the key risks and you are confident that you've chosen the right needs, markets, standout features, and business goals, you can then take the next step and derive a product roadmap from the strategy. Now, I like to view the roadmap as a product plan that describes how you intend to implement the strategy and which specific benefits or outcomes the product should provide over the next, say, 12 months, based on the needs and business goals that you've stated in the product strategy. Now, I call these outcomes product goals, and sample goals are acquiring new users, increasing engagement, removing technical debt to future-proof the product, and generating revenue. Now, with an actionable product roadmap in place, you can continue the process and move on and stock your product backlog. And to do this, I suggest that you choose the next product goal stated on your roadmap, determine the features and functionality required to meet it, and then capture them in the backlog. and then create enough ready product backlog items to be able to start the upcoming sprints and start developing the actual product. This is typically done by breaking larger product backlog items into smaller ones. And I consider a product backlog item as ready when it fits into the sprint. So it can actually be fully completed, fully done in the sprint. There's a shared understanding between the person in charge of the product and the development team, and it is testable. Now, once development has started, measure the actual development progress. So you might want to use a release burndown chart if you use a Scrum-based development process. And when an initial or new version of the product has been released, then use your KPIs, your key performance indicators, to measure the product performance. And these indicators should consist of the metrics or include the metrics that are required to determine if the product goal you've chosen has been met. So for instance, if you've met your engagement goal. And additional measures that help you assess how your product is doing in general and if the strategy is working. So an example could be retention, product quality, and team motivation. And use the metrics in the release burndown chart to review the product strategy and the product roadmap and assess if they're still valid. Well, if they're not quite right anymore, or if there's an opportunity to enhance them and thereby, then changing your product as a consequence, then adapt them. And this might involve making smaller incremental changes, but it might also require some significant ones. It might require that you pivot, that you change the strategy in order to make the product successful. So a well-known example would be YouTube. YouTube pivoted from a dating website to a video sharing platform. Now you have completed the cycle, and in fact, you've already started another one. So connecting strategy and execution and working in an iterative way is a part of the solution in order to establish an effective product strategy practice. But another piece of the puzzle is involving the right people. And as the person in charge of the product, you typically don't have the power to tell the stakeholders and development team members what to do. So you lack what's referred to as transactional power. And instead, you rely on their support and goodwill. And given that's the case, if you now create an amazing product strategy, but the stakeholders and development teams don't support it, don't buy into it, then it's pretty much useless. The decision it captures won't be put into practice, they won't be executed, they won't be implemented. So to maximize the chances that people understand and support the product strategy and generally strategic product decisions, I recommend that you involve the key stakeholders and the development team representatives in creating and validating the product strategy, developing the product roadmap, tracking the KPIs and the development progress, and updating those plans. This will also allow you to leverage their expertise, which makes it more likely that you will make the right decisions. And if you work on a larger product in a scaled environment, then include the product people who work with you, for example, feature owners or component owners. A great way to engage the stakeholders and development team members and make decisions together is to run a collaborative workshop, be it online or in the office, to ensure that you have an effective workshop. Ask your Scrum Master or another experienced facilitator to help prepare the session and facilitate it. And this includes establishing ground rules, selecting a helpful decision rule like consent. Consent means a decision is made when there are no meaningful objections, and ensuring that everybody is heard and nobody dominates, which might well involve reminding people of the ground rules. And you can find more advice on making decisions together and collaborative decision making in my book, How to Lead in Product Management. It has a whole chapter on that topic. Involving the stakeholders and development team members in the decision making process puts collaboration at the center of the strategy cycle. And this increases the chances that strategy and execution can enrich each other. So to end this episode, I'd like to share a little caveat with you. George Box once said that all models are wrong, but some are useful. And I think there's a lot of truth in this statement. You know, every model is an abstraction of a reality. It simplifies or ignores a certain aspect of reality and leaves out some details. And that's also true for the process model that I have suggested. That I've tried to characterize in this episode. In reality, things are slightly more complicated. And there are specifically two aspects I'd like to draw your attention to. First, as soon as the development team has started to work on product backlog items and transform them into product increments, you should start measuring the development progress. And once you have enough data to see a clear trend, and that typically tends to be the case after 2 to 3 sprints, check if the product goal can be met on time and on budget. Now, if that's not the case, then you might have to adjust the product roadmap, and that might even trigger an adjustment of the product strategy. So don't wait until a product increment has been delivered to selected users or customers, or a new product or a new product version has been released. But again, try and quickly figure out, are you on track or off track? How are you doing? And therefore, is the product roadmap still realistic? Is it still actionable? Is it still valid? If it's not valid, adjust it and then assess the impact to the product strategy. And there might not be any, but as I said, in some cases, it might indicate that there's something not quite right with the strategy. And similarly, if your product backlog experiences significant changes, you might find out, for instance, that a key feature is not required or has to be replaced, then again, consider the impact on the product roadmap and update it as soon as possible. And second, don't forget to engage in continuous product discovery. And this includes frequently monitoring new trends and the competition. And as I've suggested in a previous podcast episode, I recommend that you spend at least half a day per week carrying out continuous discovery and strategy work. So even if you're now focused on building a new product or a new significantly enhanced product version, you know, don't forget to carry out some of the product discovery work to ensure that you do not miss any threats and opportunities, and that you can respond to changes early and proactively rather than having to react to them with your back against the wall. I hope you found my advice on linking product strategy and execution helpful. You can learn more about product strategy by attending my product strategy and roadmap training course, which is also available online, and by reading my book, Strategize. Thank you for listening.